Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, the original and best, except no imitations, podcast about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? I'm David. We haven't managed to get together this week, unfortunately, but what we're going to do is bring you an interview we had with the Chief Operating Officer of Scottish Rugby, Don Mackay. We talk everything from the Super Six through to their results this summer, and he gives an insight to how much pressure they were under from our campaign for Murrayfield to get card machines. It is a great interview. Enjoy it. Joined on the line by Scottish Rugby's Chief Operating Officer, Dominic Mackay. Dom, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Lovely to speak to you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for joining us. You're over at the launch of the Pro 14, aren't you?
I am, yeah. So we're announcing today in Glasgow some more details about the final, which will be hosted at Celtic Park next May. So it's a really momentous day for the Pro 14 to announce that the final coming to a new venue, a football venue, In a city which I think is developing a real love affair for rugby just now, which is, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I suppose that's off the bat. You must have been heartened to see the 6,000 people turn up for Glasgow's pre-season fixture up in Perth. That sort of taking rugby out of Edinburgh and Glasgow. You must be delighted with that.
Absolutely brilliant. We're thrilled with the progress of Glasgow and have been over the last sort of few years. And you know, we've made some changes there a few years ago, and it's lovely just to see the growth of rugby in the city, the growth of the brand of Glasgow Warriors, and the fact that we're now selling out the venue every time that they play is a lovely headache to have. We've got some ambitious plans maybe to expand that a bit further, but who would have thought we could go up to Perth and get 6,000 people into the facility for a friendly? So it just shows you that there's a real warmth towards Glasgow Warriors and the Edinburgh Rugby. So you know they're doing well as well. So yeah, we're very pleased with the teams.
Absolutely. So just a little bit stepping back from that, to many of our listeners, they won't maybe not know you as anything other than maybe just one of those anonymous blazers behind Scottish rugby. Could you give us a bit more of an insight, just a sort of an overview of what does your role as Chief Operating Officer sort of mean for Scottish rugby, and what do you and your team do on a sort of day-to-day basis?
I will try to explain what this anonymous blazer does day-to-day. So I'm as Chief Operating Officer, I've got responsibility, I guess, for the vast majority of the off-field activities for Scottish Rugby. So in my departments, we look after all the marketing for the group, all the media for the group, all the public affairs and government relations. I look after the ticket office and the ticketing team. I look after the retail and the store and the licensing of our brand internationally. Look after all of our broadcasting arrangements and relationships. I oversee the stadium and our stadium activity both in Glasgow and in Edinburgh, Beacon Murrayfield. And also oversee both the Glasgow Warriors team and the Edinburgh Rugby team. So both the managing directors of Edinburgh and Glasgow are part of my team. And I think that's about it. So yeah, look after most of the off-the-field activity for the business.
Brilliant stuff. And sort of bringing that all together, a lot of people know, it's pretty good results that came out from the SRU during the summer. Can you maybe just sort of talk through some of the highlights and what particularly pleased you from that set of accounts?
So we've had a really good year, a really positive year in terms of the growth of our turnover, which sounds a little bit boring, but really what that means is that we've managed to generate more income than ever before. So when we took over the sort of commercial side, and I took over the commercial side in 2011, we were turning over, I think, about $32 million, and we were about $15-16 million in debt. And it was really pleasing this year to confirm that our turnover had grown up to $57.2 million. So a considerable jump. We had a profit of $1.8 million, which we call a surplus, and our debt was down to around $2-3 million. And in fact, during the year, our debt was zero. So it sort of fluctuates with cash flow. So financially, we have never been in better health, which means that we can reinvest both at the stadium, into Glasgow, into Edinburgh, into the grassroots, which is really important to us at record levels. And that's something, I guess, myself and my team are very, very proud of. That whilst we're generating the revenue, we're a not-for-profit business, so all the money gets reinvested back into rugby in Scotland at all levels. So, yeah, really, really, really solid year.
When you look at reinvestment, how are you sort of balancing up? Obviously, salaries in the professional game are just going up and up. The club game is looking for investment. And also with Mini Murrayfield kind of on the horizon, how are you sort of balancing up all those opportunities?
Well, we've got a sort of a constant challenge because, unusually, as you know, we own and operate both Glasgow and Edinburgh. We also own the National Stadium here at BT Murrayfield. And then we have a responsibility to invest and to grow and to nurture the talent of the future by investing through grassroots rugby activity. So to be honest, the way that I describe it to my team, we're just going to keep generating as much money as we possibly can to feed all the mouths that need to be fed around the sort of kitchen table, and by generating more income through ticketing, by generating more income through our broadcast deals, by generating more income through our sponsorship partnerships, which we've been able to do in the last few years, is enabling us to invest significant amounts. And also have the confidence to make some big decisions and holding on to Stuart Hall, or make big decisions and bringing Richard Cockrell or David Rennie into the business. And then at the same time, making investment decisions around facilities. So we want to create a really special experience for the Edinburgh Rugby supporters who deserve a really special experience for their team. So we're committing some significant funds to make that happen on the back pitch at BT Murrayfield. And at the same time, we also want to invest in Glasgow. So we've got lots of calls on the income as quickly as it's generated. But what's been really pleasing is in the last few years that we've managed to sell out every Scotland game for, I think, the last 8 or 9 matches. So we're in a real growth period, I think, as a sport in this country. And there's lots of people that have contributed to that, and we're very grateful for everyone's part in that.
So to take your metaphor of the kitchen table, some criticism, or there are critics out there that are saying that you're possibly leaving the traditional club rugby game in Scotland to go hungry. I mean, would you say that has been something that has been neglected as the sort of impressive growth of Scotland, Edinburgh and Glasgow has had to be supported?
No, not at all. So we've invested in record amounts year on year. Each year for the last 5 years, we've put more money into the grassroots game in Scotland. And that's something we're very, very pleased about. And we will continue to do that. It's always that balance, I think, as you mentioned earlier on, between investing and sort of speculating. So I suppose there's a little bit of a decision to make around players, a little bit of a decision around coaches and the professional teams. And the reason why we invest into Glasgow and into Edinburgh as we do is because Glasgow and Edinburgh generates revenue, importantly, but importantly that they supply players to the national team where the vast majority of our revenues come from. And those are the revenues that we generate, we're then able to reinvest back into all levels of the game. So things like investment we've made with BT, our partner, into the academies, to create 4 academies around the country. We're proud about that, and there's more news in the academy front to come over the next sort of few weeks. But we've also got lots of investment areas that often don't get the headlines sometimes. Like the women's game is very, very important to us, and we're putting more money into that than ever before. You can see that through the number of professional players that we're now signing up. We will announce shortly a significant sponsorship deal with the women's national team. So there's a whole facet of parts of our business that we're always having to make challenging decisions on, but because we've at least got that record turnover growing, we're doing that against a backdrop of at least having significant funds to make these, I guess, confident decisions.
Tom, if you'd like that opportunity to break an exclusive of that investment in the women's game live on the Thistle, you can go ahead right now if you'd like.
I probably said more than I should. I probably get in trouble, but no, the women's game is so important to us, and I'm absolutely thrilled that we've secured such a high-profile and significant partner into that space. So happy to come back on at a future date once we get it announced.
Brilliant. That's really exciting. I think another big issue that's come up in the past year or so is Super Six. It sort of seems to divide opinion a bit, but how have you sort of seen the progress of that so far developing, and what are your thoughts on the competition going forward?
Definitely seen the feedback. We've had loads of great discussions over the last year, and ultimately the purpose, just by way of reminder, is that we want to try as much as we can to try and close the gap between the Premiership as it is just now and the pro teams, because we want to keep raising the standards. And that's something that our clubs asked us to do, which is to try and come up with a system that would close that gap a bit further. So we're putting some serious money behind that. You probably saw that we appointed Sean Lane to lead all the on-field activities for the Super Six clubs over the next year or two. So we believe in that as a project. But ultimately, that's about developing players. And it's one of the things, I guess, we're quite proud of, which is it's an important avenue to develop players, but coaches as well. And that's something that perhaps in Scotland we haven't taken as seriously as we might have done in previous years. But we really believe that developing Scottish coaches in the Scottish system and giving them a natural pathway to the national team, ultimately, is something that we're very focused and motivated on.
Thanks for that. Premier Sports, obviously coming on as a new broadcaster in the next sort of few weeks. As sort of, you've been looking at broadcast deals and part of the Pro 14 committee, how did you balance up kind of the risk of going with a relatively sort of small and new broadcaster with obviously any additional cash and obviously the chance to be the kind of prominent sporting brand on that platform?
The critical word that I think you used there was balance, and it absolutely is a balance. So we, if I put my board director Pro 14 hat on, we've got to maximise our revenues. Pro 14 is all about generating revenues from its TV deals and its sponsorship deals to then circulate that back to the clubs across the various territories in which we play in. But as a governing body and as a shareholder of the Pro 14, we've got to balance the financial investment from a broadcaster set against the opportunity to make sure that we keep exciting fans, we give an outlet and an opportunity for supporters to be engaged with the games, and hopefully inspire the next generation of young players to pull on a jersey for Glasgow or for Edinburgh and to become a professional athlete. But it's an expensive business to run one professional rugby club. We have the great joy, of overseeing the running of two in Scotland, and we've got to make sure that we're able to hold on to people like Stuart Hogg and hold on to our coaches and hold on to our star players. And to do that, we need to generate as much money as we can. But what I'm pleased about with the Premier deal is that there's also going to be free-to-air content available to their Freeview platform each weekend as well. So while some of it will be behind a paywall, not dissimilar to BT Sport, not dissimilar to Sky, some of it will also be available for free every weekend. So it's a new beginning, I think, for the Pro 14 in that regard. But the quality of the content, the games between the clubs and the competition are outstanding, and I've no doubt people will want to watch those.
You can't give us the inside scoop on who the Scottish punditry is going to be?
I can't. I'm hesitating because I'm delighted. I know who they are, and I'm delighted with.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The quality of people that we've got, and that's a real statement of intent. They wanted to say and make a marker down in terms of saying we're investing in the product, both in the talent but also in terms of the production. And I think you'll see not only in terms of the talent they'll unveil, but also the quality of the production and the way in which the games are brought to life and the shoulder programming and the highlights will be, yeah, we'll just elevate Pro 14 to another level.
So, relatively niche question, but obviously you've got Scotland Rugby, Scotland Men's Rugby, Glasgow, Edinburgh, Women's Rugby Academy, all these sort of entities, and it kind of felt a few years ago they were almost sold quite a lot as a package. So obviously, BT took that big pile of rights. Are you now trying to look at carving those out and giving them their own identities in terms of how you sell it to sponsors?
So it's a great question. We always try and leverage up our assets as best we possibly can. So, and if the market wants to invest sponsorship into Glasgow, Edinburgh, Scotland, we can make that happen for sure. And the investment that we had from BT was significant and is enormous for Scottish rugby. And it continues. We extended with them last year, as you know. But as we've invested in Glasgow and Edinburgh, both in the playing side and the coaching side, and the performances are coming through in Glasgow and Edinburgh, we're able to have the confidence to market independently more and more Glasgow and Edinburgh rights. And you're seeing that with some of the deals that we're doing in Glasgow and some of the deals that we're doing in Edinburgh. These are really quality deals that would dwarf anything in the pro clubs in the last sort of a few years. So the market, I think, for rugby in general around the world is really growing, sponsor-wise. And we've got some great brands that people can be aligned to, whether it's women's, whether it's the men's national team or Glasgow and Edinburgh. But the strength that we have of pulling those rights together when it's right for the partner is something which is quite unique, and we try to play that to our advantage.
That's great, John. I think we've just got one more thing. When we first started the pod back in sort of November 2016, one of our biggest bugbearers was that there was no card machines at Murrayfield. Can you confirm that the SRU bowed to our pressure to install card machines at the bars at Murrayfield?
I'm delighted when we've got card machines. In most of our games now we have card machines. The challenge actually isn't, in some respects, getting the cash out. It's sort of joining the long queue to get into them. So what we've done is we've invested a chunk into contactless technology and tills that can just take your card around the whole sort of site. So I would imagine that not only will we have card machines going forward, but we'll also have those chip and pin around almost every location. So I don't want anyone ever to be thirsty because they don't have access to a beer. And I don't want anyone to ever have a reason not to buy a beer. So, yeah, we've listened to you. And I must say, I've enjoyed listening to your podcasts.
It's lovely that
you guys are putting in such a hard work to talk about rugby in Scotland, and it's appreciated.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, that seems like a very high point on which to end. Dom, thank you very much for your time. We know you're a busy man. We'll let you get back to it, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks very much. Thanks a lot, guys. All the very best.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
I mean, you can say what you want about the SRU, but it's hard because he's a really nice guy.
God, he was so charming, wasn't he?
How nice is he?
So well trained. He's just batting off any difficult questions.
I was ready to come over the top, the trenches, take him down.
Too nice.
I know.
So what do you think? We covered an awful lot there with Dom in about that 15 minutes. Let's start with the results this year. Scottish rugby in the best place it's ever been, according to him. Matt, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue when you look at the accounts and you see the record turnover. I think there's been a bit of criticism that costs might have been increasing at a slightly quicker rate than revenues.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that at the end of the day, it's not there for profit. It is there to keep investing in the business. So if you're growing the business, then those are the investments that you need to make. So I can't really get too fussed about it.
Yeah, I think we'll probably come on to this a bit later, is there's kind of the commercial side and then the domestic side. And I think with Dodson at the helm and Don McKay, smooth operator.
Yeah.
Look, they obviously both have a pretty good, they have a very good sort of commercial mindset, and that's been the real focus for them going through this year. And so I think from sponsorship, broadcast and kind of ticketing, it's quite hard to have a particularly negative view on what they've done.
Yeah, and we probed them a little bit on that. I suppose the biggest criticism that has come at the SRU is that they are taking all this professional growth and they're not reinvesting enough in the grassroots club game. The people that are turning out every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for their clubs and keeping those real community assets alive. What did you make of his response to that and the balance between what the pro game and the amateur game?
Yeah, no, there's been a lot of criticism from, you know, from the offside line and from our old friend Aristotle.
I mean, and from us as well.
Yeah, and from us. I think probably less sort of partisan than someone like Aristotle. But, you know, it is a difficult one. I think that he did point to things like Super 6. And I think actually, ultimately, that the absolute amount of money is still going up. It's going to the clubs. It's just that as a percentage of the overall investment,
It
is going down. But if you are, you know, growing it overall, then I think it's fair enough. I find it difficult to sort of complain too much about it.
It's the ultimate issue is the disconnect between what's good for the club game and what's good for the professional game probably isn't the same thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Do you think there is a trickle-down effect from investing in Scotland and the pro games into the clubs?
Not particularly. I think if you look at what's happened over the last 7 years, I don't think many of the clubs would say they've seen much trickle-down benefit. Mm. If anything, I think the success of Scotland and the professional clubs has potentially taken eyeballs and investment away from the club game.
Yeah. I think it was quite interesting that people were drawing comparisons with the IRFU, who released their results recently and had been increasing their investment in domestic club rugby at a pretty good rate. But then you sort of look at the RFU's recent figures and they make for pretty shocking reading. So
yeah.
I just wonder if, you know, professional rugby hasn't actually been around that long. And I think in its current healthy state in Scotland, that's pretty new. So you're possibly just getting to grips with that model and making it as sustainable as possible. And maybe you need to, you know, suffer a bit along the way.
I think it was because ultimately the Super Six is really there to give a high enough level competition for kind of 18 to 24 year olds who want to make that jump up. And so that's why I think this Celtic Cup that's come out has just come out at the worst time for the SRU.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, the Celtic Cup is an under 23 competition between the Welsh and Irish regions.
And I was going to ask Dom, but you know, he was too nice, he couldn't go for it. But the fact that he is on the board of Celtic Rugby?
Pro 14.
Presumably he was party to those type of discussions.
I don't know.
And it seems as if they've come out, the SRU have come out and said, yeah, but in addition to the Super Six, we will play cross-border matches against Welsh under 23 sides.
Yeah.
Something like that. A kind of step, once again, a step below. But it seems as if actually the WRU have been pretty quiet on that front. So it seems as if that was maybe just sort of chucked out as like an idea to make people a bit happier about the overall concept.
But yeah, I think we sort of chatted about this earlier. It feels like Super Six has become like Brexit, and it's basically this horrible, like you're either on one side of the fence or the other, and no one can really, look, there's issues with the current setup, there's issues with the Super Six. Neither are perfect.
Yeah.
They've kind of taken this decision.
Yeah.
And I think now we've got to the point where we've got to implement it and see what it's like. And as you said, proof will be in the pudding.
Proof will be in the pudding, I think, in terms of the investment. And when we are one season into Super Six, we're going to find out. Actually, probably not even that long. Half a season into Super Six, we'll find out if the model is, if people are turning out to watch it, if the product is good, if it's attracting decent young talent and coaches and things like that.
It'll be interesting to see when they actually play the Super Six, because you're going to have pro rugby on a Friday night, Edinburgh at least. Then you're going to have clubs Saturday afternoon, and you know, Heriot's amateur club are still going to be putting out a team, and then you've got the Super Six as well.
Yeah.
Sunday, No. Saturday night?
The Heritage boys ain't not going out.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Opal is closed now, actually. So.
Opal is closed, yeah.
Opal Lounge is closed?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, closed for refurb. I had a cry.
A couple of other things that he dropped in there. Another big investment in the women's game and the suggestion of a new sponsor that's going to be announced soon enough. And he also talked about another round of investment for the academy setup, taking those two particular sort of streams or seats around the dinner table as he's talking about. How do we think Scotland are getting on in that academy and the women's game?
Firstly, I think Dom McKay has hit his speaking points.
His metaphor.
Yeah, they were very good. Very clean.
I have to admit, I actually don't know enough about the women's game. Obviously, it appears from results that it's improving a lot. And, you know, obviously we're sending out these players. I saw Jade Conkles just hiring Harlequins.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's quite a few people down south and in France and places like that.
Yeah. So it's obviously getting sort of the investment and focus that it has needed for a long, long time. Academy setup is interesting because it feels to me like it's been relatively successful since its sort of birth, maybe sort of 6 years ago, in terms of that sort of stage one, stage two, stage three professional. There's a lot of the percentage of people who go into that and seem to sort of progress has been
relatively
high. Been good.
And actually, I think in terms of that young player pool, I don't think it's really been ever as good for Scottish rugby in my time anyway.
Yeah.
It certainly seems as if, and at age group levels, you know, we still get the occasional pace thing, but it's far more competitive than it used to be when, you know, a victory over England, for example, was unheard of, but you occasionally get them.
Yes.
You know, you maybe get them once every two seasons or something, and properly competing against the likes of Wales and France and Ireland. So I think they're doing a pretty good job, and it's good to see the likes of Fosrock, and sounds like there's going to be more investment as well.
Yeah.
So you can't really argue with on that front.
Good.
Absolutely.
Real stooges for the SRU, aren't we?
I know, God. We're just sucking on the teat.
Oh, I hate the SRU.
Long in the tooth now.
Fucking Blazers.
I know.
It was great that we managed to get the admission out of them that they crumbled to our pressure on the card machines at Murrayfield.
Do you think someone listened to the pod and they just like brought
Well, Dom McKay does.
Dom McKay
does. Oh, yeah, he does,
the pod.
Doesn't he?
He's a regular.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were just
that
like,
was straight from the top.
Why?
Dom's never left us a review, actually, unless he's using a pseudonym.
A pseudonym, sorry.
Wow. Yeah. So, Dom, we know you are listening. Get on there. 5 stars, please, on iTunes. That'd be lovely.
Good.
Okay, so that was our chat with Dom McKay and a little bit on the summer results. We will be back next week after the first round of games in the Pro 14.
Can't bloody wait.
It's going to be grand.
See you guys soon. Cheers.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.